Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Loving Care Family Chiropractic, a state-of-the-art chiropractic family facility for the entire family, owned and operated by Dr. Ebony Hornbuckle Preston. Allow her to love your spine so you can get back to enjoying your life. Through the touch of her hands, your pain will flee, giving you the freedom to enjoy your best life. Her concern is not just your spinal health, but your total health. She will show you natural and holistic remedies that can alleviate many injuries and various types of pain. Work with her and you'll feel stronger and healthier after every visit as you begin to enjoy the new you. Make your appointment today. They're located at 5336 East Mountain Street, Stone Mountain, Georgia, 30083, or call at 678-884-3778. We're also available on the web at www.lovingcarechiropractic.com. We are Loving Care Family Chiropractic. Let us love your spine. Shimmering stars and moonlights, the earth's creations in brilliant colors, gazed upon her in awe. They aspired to be what Scorpio already was. Scorpio was art in motion, moving with a rhythm as unique.
All right, y'all, welcome to Let's Talk. WAMRDB, this is your host, Kareema Ali Bowen, on my Let's Talk show. Broadcasting this a little bit later in the week, but I wanted to let everybody know and thank everybody for coming into the show on 1420 a.m. on Tuesday. We appreciate the support. Want you all to be there on this Tuesday again. I'm going to have my boy Black Ice on. He is a photographer and has his own magazine called Black Ice. I also want to welcome our caller to the show. It's going to be a little difficult, so got a lot of humming in the background. So what I want to try to do is introduce our caller and my co-host for tonight. The name of our subject tonight is Checking Our Love Language. So I'd like to introduce this young lady, Ms. Keisha. Keisha, welcome to
hello.
The show.
Hello, hello. How you doing, Kareema?
All right, wonderful, wonderful. I just wanted to let you know, we do have all sorts of songs. See, I told you we had a Scorpio song. We got one for everybody. We make it work around here. That's my brother and his other executive producer, Mario Coleman, original music.
Okay.
Of course, all of that. So that's a tribute to the Scorpio who just left. We got some Sagittarius also. So listen, you know, it's been a great pleasure to talk with you the last 2 days. Wanted to let people know that this is a wonderful woman that has a lot of insight about things that are going on in our community and things that are happening with our children. I want to jump into the conversation a little bit, but I'm hoping that we can get some of the humming out of the phone.
I know, because it seems like it's getting worse. Hold on a second, Kareema. If you can do some of I don't know what's causing it. So, I'm trying. Go ahead, Kareema.
Okay. So, we'll be right back. Trying to figure out the humming situation. going to play a couple of song selections, and then we'll get Ms. Keisha back on the phone. But I wanted to just kind of let everybody know that we are facing some trying times in our community, and wanted to just kind of let things lay there for a moment. You know, I want to send my prayers out to my cousin Trail, who was shot in the head in Columbus, Georgia. I'm on my way. And the Lord let him see at least fit for him to be laying in the ICU in Columbus, Georgia. So we hope you all will be praying with us as a result of that. And so we'll be back here in a minute with Ms. Keisha, bring her back into the phone call. But we'll have a few minutes about music, and then we'll get back to the show. Executive producer and host for tonight's show, Let's Talk, on WAMR-DB, which is Atlanta Mix Radio, digital broadcasting, checking our love language. Want to welcome back Ms. Keisha. Got our technical difficulties kind of ironed out.
Yes.
So, you know, welcome back to the show. Want to just let everybody know that we basically are just popping it up tonight. We've got a lot of things going on in our communities and in our world, and this young woman has brought a lot of information and dialogue about what's happening. And it seems like it's almost we're in a point of insanity. But, you know, you kind of described it, and I really wanted to kind of get our listeners to understanding what's happening when we're talking about checking our love language. Our love language is different. It's not about our love, it's about what we talk about love language, because we have this deadly thing going on in our community about self-love, self-hate. So let people know what you're doing, and you know, what about you, and you know, I have no idea.
Well, first of all, thank you, Karima, for having me on the show. I'm truly honored to for you to have me on and trust the heart of things that I have to say, because our community is suffering. And the way that I see it, it's just an absence of people knowing who they are. And we are so out of touch with ourselves, and we don't know how to, first of all, receive love, let alone give it to someone else. And until we really get in touch with our own selves and our own truths, then it's like we're in disarray. So you have a lot of people that are fighting for love from somebody that they probably don't even need to get it from or give it to. And we have to, you have to begin to get authentic. And that comes only comes from within. And once you go within, then you know how to give it outside of yourself, which a lot of times people aren't used to hearing things like that. Cause they like, well, why you sound so deep? It's really not deep. It's basic.
Yeah.
It's really basic, but we don't know how to get to the basics of things. First of all, I believe our love language is also attached to our purpose. When people begin to understand where their purpose for being here, then you kind of know who to get involved with, who you shouldn't get involved with, because you're strategic with your life. But because now we're just all over the place, we have no vision, we have no purpose, we don't even understand certain words like destiny. It's kind of getting popular in our community now, but you know, before then, people just all over the place. I can speak personally from my own life, you know, and if I could go back a little bit from growing up, all I ever knew to prepare for in life was the rapture. And when you prepare people for an ending, then they're not preparing for a life.
Exactly.
So my thing was, okay, I got saved. And it was like, okay, now what? You know, now what do I do? So, and even though I tried to stay in this place, you know, to be the good girl, to do the right things, but it still was like something was missing. Like, what am I to do? Okay, I praise God, I listen to God, but I'm not really even knowing what that even sounds like. So when I found the scripture in the Bible that says, where there is no vision, the people perish and go unrestrained.
Right.
And it just means that people go undisciplined because you have no vision to keep you focused on your purpose or your destiny. And that's why you have people just going all over the place now. And, you know, when you look at our kids, the situation with our kids, because we have not put the value inside of them, they have no value for anyone else. And you have to be able to show them that they are valuable. But what we've done, we've given our children a lot of things, but we haven't given them the main thing, and that's giving them the gift of life and purpose. And, you know, George Benson wrote a song years ago, The Greatest Love of All, and Whitney Houston remade the song. And he has some, you know, very key words in there, in his verses, that if we just get back to them, he says, you know, let the children's laughter remind us how it used to be. You know, teaching us, you know, he says, let me see, I believe the children are our future. Teach them well. He said, teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty that they have inside. And we have not done that. We have neglected that.
And we've mistreated them too. We've not guarded their hearts, and we've not guarded their souls, and we've not even guarded their spirituality when it comes to our association with the way Big Mama brought us up, the way my mama brought us up.
Absolutely.
Which is through the church. I mean, regardless of what you believe in, what kind of building, but the God part is what's lacking in the lives of children and in the lives of people. When we perish, that means that it's a lot bigger than that, because the most important thing is that we understand that there's a higher purpose in our life. And the most highest purpose in life that any human person can ever come up with is that he understands his purpose is to serve God. And love God. Then love ourselves. And then love our community and our family and all those things that follow. So that's the interesting part, because you can't do any of them unless you got all three going at the same time. To me. Because without that, you're just spinning your wheels, like you said. And that's why, you know, my cousin's land and I because of the fact that, you know, our kids are desensitized.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the whole thing with video games, I mean, you have a lot of these games where they're doing shooting. You have the games with what's the one the where they're robbing and the cars and stuff. The
I wouldn't even know.
You know which one I'm talking about. It's the one. Well, anyway, they're breaking in cars and all this kind of stuff, and that kind of stuff plays images in those kids' heads to where
mm-hmm.
it when they get out here in real life, it becomes a game to them.
It's
because
their reality.
They're so used to seeing it. Exactly. And they think that they're playing a game when life is not a game. There are consequences. There are real life consequences. And unfortunately, they don't show consequences on video games.
Uh-uh.
They just keep going. You know, the kids just keep playing and, you know, to get to the next round. So, you know, we really do have to watch how we, what we expose our children to. And one thing that I do with mine, I have an 8-year-old and a 11-year-old at home. And a lot of things, I tell my kids, I don't try to keep you away from things, but I teach them the difference. I teach them and let them understand. All I can do is give you the information. It's
uh-huh.
up to you to choose the right thing to do. And I know a lot of times as parents, we tend to discipline our children or we tend to handle our children out of emotion and not principle. So a lot of all of that kind of has something to do with what's going on with our society as a whole, but it's really not that hard. If we could just get our emotions out of a lot of things and live and base our lives on principle, this world would actually function better. You know, we would be aligned with the purpose of God, you know?
Well, you know, this is the part that I want to say is that we say that love language and how to love and who to love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is where we become a problem. I think this is where racism comes in. This is where all these variables come in life, where everybody has guidelines on who they are supposed to love. You know what I'm saying? And so if you can't love with conditions. You have to love unconditionally. So if that person has one leg, one eye, you know what I'm saying? We've been desensitized to the way people look, too.
Mm-hmm.
If we know that we want to love a person that looks like the person on the magazine cover.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody all looking like that around here. You know what I mean? And this
mm-hmm.
is how people wind up cheating with other people because they are... they're in a place where, you know, they're delusional. They're dysfunctional. They think that the person that looks good is the one that's going to give them the best love. And those people who make up themselves all the time
mm-hmm.
to see they're hiding makeup and all of this stuff. It happens. My point is, we have been taught who we're supposed to give our love to, and that's love.
Well, and that's a smoke screen, and it's shallow. That's what you call just shallow. First of all, and you know, Karima, from talking to me, that my life is based off of the word. So for me, where I was able to find truth for myself, and I truly believe that the basis of God is love. I know a lot of times, you know, people get there in different ways, and people get their understanding in different ways. But what I found when I read 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about what love really is. And he talks about love being patient, love being kind, love is not puffed up. It's a number of things that he talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, what true love is really about. So when I started looking at myself and asking myself, am I really loving? And then when I look at how somebody says, I love you, but then I look at how they handle me, and I line it up with that. And if I don't see that, then I'm saying, no, I don't really think you love me. And if I can't respond the way that I'm saying I should receive it, then I'm asking myself, well, am I really loving? Because at the end of the day, you know, you have different types of love, which I don't really know those. But I think it's Eros, and it's three different sayings. But what we want, what we all want, is unconditional love and to be accepted. But everybody's not going to. for the most important person that can be accept you is yourself. We have to be able to accept ourselves as we are, our imperfections, our good, our bad, I mean, everything. And when you can learn to love you, then that's the basis, that becomes the foundation of your life, because then you know how to put up certain boundaries, or, you know, who you allow to come in and who you don't. Because everybody's not meant to be, you know, play first role and be first role in your life.
It's a learning curve. So listen, we're going to take a break for a moment, pay some bills on some commercials, and we should be back in about 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes. So y'all sit tight.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man.
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them. Like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within.
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to. Ta-da! Twinsies!
I kind of love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Adopt U.S. Kids.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda. That's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed. And driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Let's see what it is. Let's see. Look out there. You hear that noise? Look out the front window. Why do you like this so much, Crystal? Huh?
Poetic love. Poetic love. She asked me, how does poetry make you feel? I said, poetry is like a good lover, the kind that makes love to you from your head down to your feet, the kind that makes you think of them when they are nowhere to be found. Poetry is the kind of love that lifts you up when you're down, the kind of love that makes you smile and brings you peace, the kind we women talk about in our secret hiding places. The kind you record in your mind for years and years after it's gone. I guess it's like giving birth to an angel and always feeling it close to your heart. Even when you have to part ways, you still feel it running through you. That's what poetry is for me. Poetic love.
About it, baby, we can take it there. I love the way you smell and the way you wear your hair. We can go around the world, maybe yeah, well, shining brighter than a diamond, baby girl, you wear. Rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, locks. 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 You beyond hot. I see you looking real good with your lock knots. You locked up like we about to skip bail. She rock a updo with a fishtail, barrels and such. And it looks so good, she like, please don't touch. I love when you rock them curls. And this is for all my girls who rock your locks. Rock, rock your locks, locks. 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 You're more than my best friend. We can talk about anything to the end. Sometimes we don't know where to begin. Around the world, baby girl, like a whirlwind. Make her say wow, like we going downtown. After when she finna come, she said now, now. Like a superhero, I give her the pow, pow. And I'ma put it on my baby till we pass out. While I rock your locks. Rock, rock your locks. Rock your locks. Rock, rock your locks.
Next level, y'all. Getting it in for 2010 like it's never been. From the auction block to the city block, from the cotton fields to the football fields, from civil rights court to the basketball court, from the big house to the White House. It's that swagger, man. You gotta understand, it was all a part of the master plan. To overcome is our destiny by any means necessary. Swagger, that soulful, calculated stride of dignity and pride that won't be denied, that never died, refused to be repressed or suppressed. You need proof? History will attest to how Martin had him overcoming, marching and singing, how Malcolm fired him up and had him down for some swinging. Swagger, that ultra cool stroll embedded deep into my warrior soul. The rhythmic dip and sway to the beat of African drums that never stop playing in the ears of my heritage. It's just not defined as a state of mind. It's highly concentrated, sophisticated, slightly animated. The final summation of the equation that applies perfectly to the situation. It's infused in my DNA. I'm blazing onto my psyche. That one piece of history that can't be stolen away from me. Swagger, like a double-edged sword that's razor sharp. A volcanic eruption deep from the subconscious of my subconscious. My story lies in every step, transporting me from the past into the future. The truth on the real with a will of steel. My eyes are my scope, my shoulder, my gauge. As I move across the urban terrain, surveying the landscape. Swagger, that silent unified code of what a man is really made of. A tightly executed glide with a calculated bounce. It's a black thing, an individualistic commonality. You know it when you see it. You can feel it when you see it. Like a book, you can read it. My swagger is a confirmation of my self-proclaimed validation. It demands respect. It commands respect. And if you don't give it, I'll take it. You ain't got no choice in the matter. Cause you see, that's how I bring my swagger. Nah, I ain't looking for trouble, but trouble ain't trying to find me either. Swagger, like a dagger plunging deep into the prejudiced mindset of those who oppose me, serving as a reminder that you will never, or will you ever, stop me. My swagger is embedded in the cast iron mold of my will, serving both as my weapon and my shield. So if you don't know, now you know how I bring my swagger. 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 Swagger.
This love. This love, this union that God has put together, let no man break into, for man's power is no match, nor does it hold the promise and purpose of our Lord and His love. This love cannot and shall not be folded or bent or ripped at either side by any source under the heaven. For this love was created and blessed by our Lord and Savior. And this love cannot and shall not be stained or dimmed. Shall no love or thoughts of another love replace it or ignore its presence. May all under the heavens bless this love through their acknowledgement and faith. and shall all that become a passerby of this union mold this love through good teaching, and us too be one from this day, and let nothing, no person, no action or reaction to any action or word of any man or woman make us forget this love.
You know what, guys? Welcome back to the WAMR-DB radio station broadcast. WAMR-DB is a multicultural radio station. We're broadcasting live as well on 1420 a.m. on Tuesdays, 8 to 10. I want to welcome Keisha back to the call. We've had a couple of difficulties in trying to keep her retrieved and focused. But she's back now. Anyway, welcome back, Keisha.
Hi.
You know, we'll apologize. We should have killed the mics, but I didn't know you were going to just break out and beat children tonight.
Well, like I said, I'm a little used to something different, but, you know, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And let you know you're talking to real people here, you know.
I tell people, beat your children every weekend.
Listen,
you won't have no problems. That's why they don't want to act right. You got to beat them. If you don't beat your kids, especially black kids, you got to beat them. Boys, you got to beat them.
You got to beat them. You think you got to beat them.
You got to beat them because they don't fight. They love.
You know what? While we're talking about love language, it seemed like I really did have one child that was his love language. Not beating him, but it's like no matter how much I would say to him, probably choke me if he knew I was saying this now, but no matter how much I would say, don't do that, stop doing that, don't do that again, he would just do it until I finally just snap. And right after I do, it's like he good for the next 2 weeks.
That is.
And I was like, why does that have to be your love language, child?
Oh, Lord.
But that was just how he operated, but, you know, hey, he good. He's good.
Yeah, man, I'm trying to tell you, that's how I function. My mom had to beat me every day. I ain't even going to get no. But we're checking our love language. You know, we're talking about where the level of love is when it comes to what we're able to, I guess, talk about. I mean, just our border, you know, where we are, where we're willing to show love at. You know, I think with society, the way we are right now, mm-hmm. and the way our children are, you know, we've desensitized our children by allowing them not to have anything but the video games and all of that. You know, it's a bad situation right now where, you know, a 5 or 7 year old could take a gun and shoot and kill their brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
And that has happened. That has been happening,
mm-hmm.
and the kid just sits there because he's in his mind, he's in a video game.
Mhm. Yep. Unfortunately, because of course society, and you have a lot of single mothers out here, and then you have a lot of, you know, parents that work really hard to, you know, make a life for our children, only to leave the children home and leave them to themselves. And though we do, you know, the best we know how, what do you do? It's like life puts that pressure on you to be able to, you know, put a roof over their head, put food on the table. And, of course, the cost of living has gone up. And then the children are at home, and we give them, you know, the best of the world. And you have parents that will say, well, I gave them everything. You know, I gave them everything. And unfortunately, those are the things that we leave them with to babysit. until we can get home and tend to them. And by the time we get home, you know, the parent is tired, the parents are tired, and then it's time to go to bed. So the children have now just been programmed to, you know, think a certain way, what they see on television, the music that they're listening to, the video games that they're playing, and, you know, that's where all of that stuff comes from. So it's like, what is the solution? What is our solution to getting our babies to understand, you know, what's really important? And I would love to one day try to put in place, you know, no child home alone, to where we as a community start being communities again and being a village and raising our children to where no child is at home by themselves, but you know, have a parent that's at home that can feed the kid until mom and daddy can get home, or can make sure homework is done, make sure the kids are, you know, taken care of like they used to do. Because my mom was one of those parents that was home, and she, you know, had other people's kids until the mamas got home. And we were a community. And, you know, in our community, we took care of each other.
That was a lady named Miss Green that used to watch us when mama was at work. And everybody on that block watched us.
Exactly.
That's how it was.
Exactly. And we have to, and that's why I say we got to get back to the basics, because those are the kind of things that worked for us. You know, I can remember my mom having about 5-6 kids extra over here, you know, after school. And then, you know, mama done picked them up and took them home, and we knew how to act. We knew how to conduct ourselves. But unfortunately, you know, these kids nowadays, but I still have hope, though. I truly believe that, you know, when they say it can't get any worse, and Lord knows I don't want to predict anything worse, but I think it's time for it to get better. I think that, you know, we as a society are getting tired, and we are really trying to do things to get to a solution. Because if it gets any worse, then nobody's going to make it. Because these children are getting younger and younger, and they are... I don't know. I don't know. We just have to get our babies.
We've had these horrific murders going on with just everybody. I mean, people just killing everybody. I mean, you had a mother just recently burned up her children.
Oh, wow. Where was that?
Here in Georgia.
Wow, I didn't hear about that. I didn't hear about that. And
the devil's busy.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the pressure of life. I think the people are just at their breaking points. You know, when you've done all you can, then people just do things out of desperation. And for a parent to go and burn up their children, that's just a sign of someone that's lost all hope. And unfortunately, there is still hope, you know, but you have to change your mindset in order to receive it. For me, there have been many times where I was going through stages of depression. I was going through stages of feeling neglected, feeling abandoned. And that came from, you know, even some areas in childhood. And I came from a, you know, middle-class family. You know, I had a father in the home every day, my mother in the home every day. But there were still times where I just felt like, you know, I wasn't being heard, you know, and when you get to a boiling point in your life. And even for me, I ran away from home at 17 years old. What happened? And the main thing for me was just communication.
You ran at 17. Girl, 17, you was almost 18. My parents told me, you ain't got to run, boo. You ain't got to run it. Oh, 17, you can go ahead and get them rocks.
Oh, no, my mama was still looking at me as being her baby. I mean, and that was crazy. I was still, and that's the crazy part. I mean, I was still my mama's baby, but I just felt like the lack of communication, you know, was there. And even recently, I just went through a situation with my 11-year-old where he was dealing with some things at school, and I didn't even know. And I think as parents, we really do need to pay attention. You know, whatever time you have to talk to your kids, you know, please talk to them, because once I sat down and talked to him, his grades were dropping a little bit, and I was like, you know, I'm about to take this and that. And then he started kind of looking crazy. And I was like, what is wrong with you? And he was like, Ma, I'm just dealing with a lot. And I'm like, wait a minute, you dealing with a lot at 11 years old?
Oh.
And what was going on was he had to go to a new school this year. He's attending a new school. So he had to get, you know, he's adjusting to that. And then he had some little girls kind of picking on him on the school bus. And then, you know, he's dealing with issues on being a middle child because he has, you know, two older brothers, and then it's him, and then he has a younger brother. And he was like, Mama, I don't know how to do all this stuff. And he's thinking about things I have no clue that he's thinking about. Then he says that I put, you know, pressure on him and things. And I, after I finally sat down, and I said, listen, I said, just talk to me. And once he kind of explained to me some things that were going on, and I was able to address his issues and look at him eye to eye and face to face and just tell him, at the end of the day, Mommy loves you. And I apologize that I have not been here to hear you, or I, you know, I didn't know what was going on. And when he started telling me some things that were going on, I was able to help him through it. So ever since then, he's come home, and he was like, Mom, ever since that talk, I mean, he keeps saying, Mommy, ever since that talk, you, my grades are coming up. Ever since that talk, I'm not worried about, you know, what they say about me on the bus. And I was like, wow, you know, he really valued that. So
because remember the one thing I said mm-hmm. is that when you encourage, mm-hmm. you bring courage. Remember?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You encouraged him, and it brought him courage to be able to look at some little ugly pigtail, little homely girls and be like, anyway, it ain't going to get no better for you.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, you already ugly. So what you going to be when you grow up, an ugly woman? You
yeah.
know, I'm saying, you this is the thing. The thing about what you said and what you're talking about is that we're, you know, the language of love has a lot to do with how we receive
mm-hmm.
what we see,
mm-hmm.
what we feel,
mm-hmm.
and what we hear. How we hear it.
Mm-hmm.
He heard it in a way that it was loving.
Yes.
He didn't hear it in a manner that you criticized him in any manner. He listened to you.
Yes.
He heard you, which allowed that language of love to be transcended for the rest of his life. And with that, he will now know how to talk with a woman.
Yes.
Hear what a woman says. Not take it all crazy, like, because most mothers go, he ain't having it. I hate all this. No. He said, I don't even hear what that has to say.
Mm-hmm.
I hear what you're saying, because what you said to him, you said in a way that it transcended love. The transcending of love is biblical.
Yes.
It's biblical, and it allows us to be able to give ourselves a moment in time to understand the power of love.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And love is, let me tell you something, that's such, so powerful. Everybody was created to be loved. Everybody was. And I want to say this. I don't know who's listening, but a lot of times I know parents say, I'm not your friend.
Mm.
And I understand, I'm in understanding with why parents say that. But my question is, if you're not going to meet your child at a level of friendship at some point, then who is? Your children have to find safety and trust in you, not just as a parent, as a disciplinarian that you do what I say do, but as a friend, that the fact that they can trust you, they know that, you know, you love them. I mean, we even say that God sticks, you know, he sticks closer to you than a brother. You know, he is our friend. So if he can be our Heavenly Father and be a friend to us, why can't we be a friend to our children but still get that same respect from them? My children know that I'm their mother. They know I say what I mean. I mean what I say. And when they don't always get it, then we take another route. However, there are times when they need me just to sit down and listen to them, and they need me to address their issues to where I get down to their level and just talk and listen, and I hug them and I affirm them of who I am to them. And then I tell them, okay, now let's go, you know, do what we need to do. So I don't think being, you know, being a friend to your children. Now, you can't be a friend at all times. You can't know they're not, you're not their friend to where, you know, hey, we buddies. No, we're not equal, but I am your friend. There's a time when I am your friend. You can come talk to me.
Because love is patient.
Absolutely.
Love is kind.
Absolutely.
It does not envy.
Exactly.
It does not boast.
That's right.
It is not proud. As we consider these things, we turn to the word of God when it comes down to showing hospitality to one another without complaining.
Mm-hmm.
We need to think of things in a way that gives us a clear mind and a sobering mind, that we're sober. We're not drunk because we're parents.
Mm-hmm.
We're not drunk. Oh, I used to call it being drunk. I told my mom and daddy, y'all just drunk with power. What?
Whoa. I never heard that one before.
Yeah, drunk with power. That's what I meant. I meant that they beat the hell out of me, but I was going to say, yeah, drunk with power. Because we just got to do what you say do.
Mm-hmm.
And it says you drunk with power. I ain't never seen nothing like it. I'm telling you, it was the worst child I ever had. But you have to sit back. And you, I mean, think about it. Your son said, I got pressure. You say, pressure? What? And you know, most people say, what kind of pressure you got at 11?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But because you listen to his language,
yeah,
it makes a big difference. And you know what? It's not just parenting. It is all adults. Adults need to understand that when children are talking to you, they don't know what's going on. They just got here.
Yes. Now, I like that. I like that, Karima. You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
I'm right. Uh-oh. Watch out.
You're right.
Hey, look, y'all. Yeah, we're going to take a break again, you guys, to play a couple things. We're talking with Miss Keisha. I want to get into a little bit more about what Keisha's doing. I know we're not supposed to talk about certain things, but if she wants to tell y'all a few things, she might. If not,
we're
going to keep
we'll touch the surface just a little bit. Just
we'll
a little
be,
bit.
We'll be so happy if she does, if she does, if she does. We'll be right back, you guys.
Welcome to Loving Care Family Chiropractic, a state-of-the-art chiropractic family facility for the entire family, owned and operated by Dr. Ebony Hornbuckle Preston. Allow her to love your spine so you can get back to enjoying your life. Through the touch of her hands, your pain will flee, giving you the freedom to enjoy your best life. Her concern is not just your spinal health, but your total health. She will show you natural and holistic remedies that can alleviate many injuries and various types of pain. Work with her and you'll feel stronger and healthier after every visit as you begin to enjoy the new you. Make your appointment today. They're located at 5336 East Mountain Street, Stone Mountain, Georgia, 30083, or call at 678-884-3778. We're also available on the web at www.lovingcarechiropractic.com. We are Loving Care Family Chiropractic. Let us love your spine.
Commercials, singing. I don't know what to tell you. That's a bad brother. That's called the next level Mario Coleman. Y'all like what y'all hear, y'all call in at 516-387-1251, or you can check us out on the web at www.wamr-dd, meaning Atlanta Mix Radio. I want to thank our guest co-host here tonight, Miss Keisha. Trying to see if we can pry some things out of her, but we might not. We might not. Everybody's holding on for the first of the year. Want to thank her for just kind of, you know, giving us an opportunity to be on Let's Talk Radio with me, your host, Karima Ali Bowens, on Let's Talk. Let's talk. Let's talk about this language of love. That's something else. I couldn't even put nothing else on there. You know what? I normally have this long thing. I just said tune in to WMRDB, call and chat. Language of love, man. That's I'm checking on our love language. I'm sorry. You know, I think this checking on our love language would probably help some people who wants to get a divorce, too. And
absolutely.
Don't want to.
You know what, Karima, one thing that I have adapted for myself is to become the change that I want to see. And I feel like
if you are not the only Scorpio that said that, but go ahead.
And I have seen that around, you know, a little taglines here and there. But it's absolutely true. If we all become the change that we want to see, then there's power in that. And then we can all make a difference. So, and for me, I want to see a beautiful world. I believe that we are to live in abundance. And abundance is not just attached to money, because you can see money, obviously, is not, you know, creating happiness, because then you see people taking their money and, you know, I hate to bring it up, but Young Thug throwing the $15,000 at the young ladies and insulting them. So money obviously is not the issue. There was a young lady, he was at the airlines, and he told the women, he told them they were ants and they were rude. He didn't turn the camera on beforehand. I don't know exactly what happened, but then he was just disrespecting them and telling them, I'll offer y'all $15,000 and pull the money out just for y'all to quit y'all job, just for y'all to leave. So apparently it was that bad. I don't know, but
quit your job for $15,000.
Yeah, he told him he paid them $15,000 for them to leave that day.
Well, whatever, honey. What the hell $15,000
going to
pay for?
Hey, I don't know, but in his mind, he felt that that was, you know, he needed to offer them. But the whole thing was just sad, you know, but money is not, you know, money. Oh, my goodness. I could talk a whole other thing about that. But I truly believe
I'm still stuck on somebody telling me to leave my job for $15,000. What was it?
$15,000. They didn't take it, of course. They were like, get that camera out of my face. It's on Facebook, you know, social media.
Oh, that, okay, but go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
But it's just the fact that, you know, when we become the change that we want to see in abundance, for me, I want to live that abundant life, and that's what I'm striving for. Abundance means that nothing is missing. All areas of your life a whole, where your family is good, your personal relationship is good, your finances are good, and your spirituality is good. When you have all those components, that's what abundance is. And that's what I strive for every single day, is to have that in my life. And, you know, I believe it is possible. But if you're focusing on the world coming to an end, if you're always focusing on what, you know, is going on with Trump
the
and
negative.
All this kind of stuff.
Girl, he got a bad hair. He needs to get rid of that tattoo. You know what? If he get rid of that hairdo, he'll be a good president.
He'll be a good... I don't
he
know about all
get,
that, Karima,
but...
He needs
to get him a fade. He get him a fade. Trump needs a fade. He needs to go to the hood, get a box haircut, get a fade. But I guarantee you, you see how Obama went from dark hair, nice and all that young looking? Boy, when they tell him the truth about some shit... that flip he got. Watch what I'm saying. He's gonna become a buzz cut. Watch
he gonna
that.
End up walking around with a
man. You better know it. I'm trying to tell you. When you learn the truth about this world, and every president knows it. Because when you become the leader of the free world, you got to tell people exactly what's going on. He can't be blind in the dark. People don't realize.
Yeah.
And let me tell y'all a little secret about something. Every president has to go to the Middle East before he actually changes hands. Because you know what? The truth has to be told. Now look at Obama. He knows some stuff. He can't nobody but God. You hear me?
Yeah.
You how Bush did it. Bush said, you know what? I know too much. You know what? He ain't said nothing in 8 years, ever.
He sure hasn't, has he?
He got on that he got on that helicopter. We ain't see him no more.
Well, you know, Michelle says she can't wait to get out of office.
She gonna have a flip flop on.
Yeah, she can't
wait. She gonna
have a wait.
Ponytail on. She gonna leave out of that Chicago style. You ain't gonna understand, but she gonna have that mink coat. It's gonna be cold snowing. She got flip flops on. Barack gonna have some shorts. He gonna give y'all a sign and throw y'all up.
They gonna throw them deuces up and walk on out of the door.
That's it. He gonna give y'all the love language. I love y'all, but guess what?
My job
is over with. But you know what? It's been a great opportunity to, you know, just always be able to chat with people from various parts of our community. You know, I appreciate you jumping on. It's been very hard today. Been a very hard day for me. And I know it ain't nothing but the devil trying to get my attention. But he can't do nothing with me because I'm too damn stupid. Really, you know what I'm saying? I just want everybody to know that, you know, it's the challenges that are coming up with me. I'm very close to my family. I hope you all will be praying for me and praying for my family.
Absolutely.
With my young cousins and ICU. But you know what? I don't know how to say this, but when a person gets shot in the head and they go to ICU and don't go to the morgue, it's something that God's trying to tell somebody.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he didn't have to be laying right there.
Yeah.
He could have went on straight to where where most people go. Some people get shot small spots and still leave here. So, you know, it's a wake-up call for all of us, you know, and I just want to think that, you know, we are, you know, we try to play a lot of somber music, and, you know, you've been talking with us about a lot of things, and I'm going to try to ease this out of you these last 12 minutes that you got in the show. I know that you are on WTNT.
Yes, WTNT Radio from 4 to 7 every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
7 a.m. or p.m.?
Oh, I'm sorry, 4 to 7 p.m.
Okay.
Every Sunday. The show is Sizzling Sunday. It's on WTNTRadio.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I have my beautiful co-host with actually, she's the host, Angie, and we have Pastor Tanya, myself. We have DJ Diesel, where we have do a little mix-up, do the little music mix, and we have Kimberly. So we are on there, and we talk about different things. It's a Christian the show, and this week we're actually talking about worship. So it's really good, you know, we've been talking about how to actually get in the presence of God and what worship, you know, what true worship really is. So we would, you know, love for people to, you know, tune in. And I will tell you a little bit about the project that I'm working on. Is that what you want, Karima?
Oh, my goodness. You think I put you up to that? I would have never come right on the head. You got
basically five. What we're doing is a nonprofit organization, and we are, it's called the Marcus Project, and the nonprofit organization is called Uncharted Territory. And what it's about is going into the hearts and minds of our people, our young people, and tapping into that uncharted territory of the mind and how they think and how they view life. And the Marcus Project is from a mother who lost her son. Her son was murdered, and they still do not know who murdered him. It was he was found in his home, and she basically based the project off of her son and the things that maybe she could have done a little different with Marcus, or the things that Marcus might have needed, because she was a single parent. Of course, the whole thing of, you know, raising a son, and it's a really good project, and we are looking forward to being able to take it into the community and help our youth. And we're starting right now from ages 11 to 17, and we're looking to also do a version of it for our younger elementary kids, just to really get their vision. You know, like I started off, where there is no vision, the people perish and go unrestrained. So we're trying to get these kids a vision, help them build roadmaps, and let them understand that they are truly the architects of their life. And we're helping them to build up their, give them, help them to build their blueprint to where they can take it throughout their lives, and just give them the skills that they need. So, you know, me and my team will be back on, and we'll be able to go more into detail. Oh, I didn't say the names of them, but it's myself and Candace and a gentleman named Rod and Tone. So we are excited about that, and we look forward to bringing it out, helping the community.
Absolutely. Yeah, you guys are listening to Miss Keisha on Let's Talk, WAMRDD, checking our love language. Again, you can always reach us on the web at www.AtlantaMixRadio, or you can just shoot me an email at AtlantaMixRadio@gmail.com, or just call me. I'm always on the phone talking about something, 678-789-6095, or you can call the office at 888-245-2334. We have to do something, Keisha. We, our children, our future at stake, and our children are our greatest asset.
Absolutely, you better say our that. Repeat that again,
asset.
Please.
Our children is our greatest asset.
Exactly, they are.
When people don't know what asset means, that means when your ass is gone, or you are gone, or you are old, and you have to sit down somewhere. They are our asset. They will sit our asses down, sat down.
Okay,
our greatest asset. And when I'm like, I'm riding around senile and got to call my baby Dominique and happy birthday to my baby for 25 years. And she'd be like, what are you talking about? And I tell her, I don't know, baby. She'd say, well, let me know if you need me. Obviously you do, because you're forgetting things. I was like, I don't have a problem with it. Our asset, our kids are greatest asset.
They are. They are.
And we know for a fact that the devil is trying to steal our greatest asset, murder our greatest asset, take away their potentials of them being kings and queens, or where they come from as their asset that we have to keep and cherish more than anything in this world. In the next 4 years, I tell you and I challenge you to understand that while Donald Trump is president, our greatest asset now is at risk for being annihilated.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that some other time. Y'all will listen to WAMR-DB, Atlanta Mix Radio. So, I don't know what to tell them. But I really appreciate it. I really, really appreciate it. I'm sorry for going off, but it's the truth. And sometimes the truth got to be told.
Absolutely. That's the only way. You can never deal with a situation that you're not willing to confront. So you confronted some issues tonight, and you know, one thing we have to realize, I think, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to leave it alone. We have to begin to take 100% responsibility. When these kids are out here and they're doing things, I don't look at that as being someone else's children. These are all our children, because we are a village and we're responsible for these children out here. I look at it as being my problem, even though it might not be my child that's doing anything. It could have been, or it could be. So once we take 100% responsibility, then that's when you feel like you're empowered. I think if you don't take responsibility, you're not empowering yourself to be able to change it. But responsibility means that you have the power to change it, and we have the power to change it. We just have to be strategic in what we do. We have to be able to go back to the basics of life. And number one, we can just start by listening. See what's in their heart. See what's going on in their minds. See, you know, why they do what they do. It's a reason. And a lot of times children will tell you, but then can we assume the responsibility and listen when they tell us, Mama, you didn't do something right. Or, Mama, I need you for this. Or, Daddy, you weren't here. And instead of getting angry, why can't we just assume that responsibility and change? What's wrong with assuming responsibility and changing? A lot of times, you know, we as parents, things have been adapted over the years. You know, you just do what I say.
Ooh.
But then, are you listening? That child, I'm telling you, I'm convinced that it works. When my 11-year-old still comes to me a week later and telling me, Mama, from that talk we had, I changed this. Mama, from this talk we had, and I didn't even realize my child was telling me certain things he was doing because he was trying to just be like everybody else. And I'm like, what? Now, mind you, we're talking about a straight A-B student. And now you going down to this. Why? Because he had issues. Mama, I'm in a new school. Mama, I'm dealing with stuff I ain't have to deal with over there. Mama, I'm, you know, dealing with being an older brother. I don't know what that means. Mama, so all these issues my child is dealing with, but one conversation changed the direction of where he was going. So I'm just going to leave it right there, Karima.
All right, then, y'all. All right. Well, guess what, y'all? We're at the end of our show. Want to thank Ms. Keisha for giving us her time. And y'all know that we'll be back. God willing, come to life.
And thank you for having me, Karima. You all have a blessed night.
All right, y'all. Let's talk on WMRDB, checking our love language. We will see y'all on Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
But I'm afraid to die. Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movies and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me no. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down. Oh,
But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Listening to WAMRDB on 1420 and 1430 AM. We are a multicultural station bringing you national exposure on WAMRDB and WATB 1420 Atlanta. Me, I'm the Next Level, and I'll be hosting a show on Tuesday nights from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So tune in and get educated, elevated,